1 Samuel 24 to 26. We've been taught that what we say reveals what's in our heart, right? What we say reveals what's in our heart. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the scripture says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Now I believe that. You do too. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So we as Christians, because we believe that, we have learned not to speak our mind in every situation so as not to reveal our heart. Is that good or bad? There's a bad element to that. Let's think about that just a minute. I would say to someone, "Well, listen, I'm really sorry that I hurt your feelings. But if you weren't a yellow coward, your feelings wouldn't be hurt right now. You know, I said the first part, but I'm thinking the second part." You ever do that? You know, I'm saying this, but I don't really feel it in my heart. No, officer, I'll be more careful and I'll watch my speed from this day on. And if I decide to speed again, I'll make sure you're not going to catch me. Or, yes, sir, I'll work hard to pull up my grades. Just get off my back a little while, would you? I love you, honey, more than you deserve. We can have all kinds of things going on in our mind. If you are in a habit of saying only what makes you look good and keeping the evil thoughts to yourself, there's something wrong with that, okay? "Well, it's out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaketh." No, you know the ropes here. And you're working both ends against the middle, so to speak. So I'm not suggesting that every time you communicate, you have to turn your heart upside down and dump all the contents out for everybody to see. That's not the point. But when what you speak, or I should say when you speak, it ought not be contrary to what you think in your heart. It ought not be contrary. You could call that a lie, right? You're not being truthful. And so since God watches and God listens to our hearts, what we don't say is as revealing as what we say to Him. Did you catch that? You only hear what I say, but God hears what I don't say, but what I'm saying in my heart, what I think in my heart. We need to seriously consider that. God is certainly concerned about both, don't you think? What we say and what we won't say or don't say. What we say and what we choose not to say should both be in keeping with Christ's character. Do you have to always say everything you know? No, you don't have to always say everything you know. You answer a question. You don't have to give more information. Sometimes the information might be hurtful information, and you're not bitter, and you're not looking for any confrontation, and you don't want to get someone's feelings hurt, and so you don't say everything. Perhaps there are times when that would happen, but what you say is not in conflict with what you feel in your heart. That's important to the Lord. As a believer, you should always be able to say what you mean and mean what you say. You ever hear that before? Say what you mean and mean what you say. That's not another way of saying don't tell lies, though it is a lie, as we've already said, if what you say is not what you mean, if you're thinking something entirely different. The idea here is to think before you speak and consider what the Lord would have you feel about this and what He would have you say about this, so that what you feel in your heart and what you say with your mouth are both in keeping with the character of Christ. We think we have our thoughts all to ourselves. The point is we don't. God's watching our hearts. There's a biblical example of this in 1 Samuel 24. In the first 15 verses, David and his men are running from Saul, and they're in a cave, and Saul just comes in. He comes into the cave, and David is there with his men, and the men say, "Hey, you could take him out here. Let's do it. God brought your enemy right to you and he's by himself. Let's go kill him. And David, of course, wouldn't lift his hand against the Lord's anointed, and he told his men that he wouldn't do that, but he did slip over. You wonder, have you ever been in a cave? Somebody can whisper a long way away and you still hear it because the walls carry the sound to your ear. This and other issues like this in the scripture, God allowed Saul and David to be there. David snuck up on Saul, cut off the bottom of his garment. And Saul got up and left, and David's heart was pricked. And he went after, he told his men, you stay here. And he went after Saul, and he bowed down before Saul, and he apologized. It wasn't an apology, but it was a way that Saul could see David's heart. I had an opportunity to kill you, and I didn't. Okay, because I won't lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Look at verse 16. This is 24:16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and he wept, and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Verse 20, and now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, Saul says, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. So a lot happened right there in those few words. Did he say what he meant, Saul? Did Saul say what he meant and mean what he said? You can go to chapter 26. And we find out that no, he didn't. It was very short-lived. So he keeps chasing David. He keeps trying to put him to death. And in the first 20 verses of chapter 26, Saul's in this, he's in this trench with his men. They slept there in the trench. David knew where they were. And so David snuck up on him and took a cruse of water and took his spear. And he went back to a safe distance and he called and he woke them up. Now, again, you had a whole platoon of men there surrounding Saul, and they're light sleepers because these are soldiers and they're on the battlefield and they're in a sort of a precarious situation there. And so God was intervening here. God kept them from waking up. David got off at a distance and he called and he woke up Saul and he teased Abner a little bit, the captain of the host, Saul's captain of the host. And he told Saul again, listen, I spared your life again. Why do you keep chasing me anyway? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Look at verse 21. 21, and then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no longer do thee harm because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. And the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivereth thee into mine hand this day, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Did he say what he meant and mean what he said? You know the story? He didn't. I'm going to sort of shift gears. I'll come back to this in just a minute. What is it, or why is it important to say what you mean and mean what you say? Why is it to have a heart and a tongue that are in harmony? Why is that important? Because if you don't, it affects your relationship with the Lord. Now, that's the message in itself. If you think in your heart one thing and your mouth says something else, you're a hypocrite, you're lying, And it will affect your relationship with the Lord, like all sin does. We need to say what we mean. We need to be able to say what we mean, because what we mean is right and righteous and holy and godly. And then when we say it, we need to be able to stand beside it, stand by it. Otherwise, our fellowship with the Lord is hurt. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet to be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. But you're going to not be able to do that unless you have a pure heart. What you think in your heart, what you're feeling in your heart toward that individual, and what you say need to be the same. They can be. We put it in God's perspective. If we are not willing to do that, it will hurt our fellowship with the Lord and with the Lord's people. Example, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and God took their lives. If we have a heart that says one thing and a tongue that says other things, it will affect our fellowship with God. It will affect our relationship to the brethren. Secondly, our relationship to the brethren. Listen to this, Titus 2, 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It will affect the truthfulness of our heart and expressing our heart, a heart that's in tune with the Lord and in tune with our tongue, that will enhance our relationship and our fellowship with the brethren, and the opposite will destroy it. The example that I would offer here is in your lap there, 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. Listen, we just looked at the times that Saul chased David, and Saul at the end says, "Oh, you've been more righteous than me. Oh, I'll never do this again. Come home. You'll be safe now." He does all these things. Now look at how David feels. 27:1. David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." That's how he felt. Saul ruined. He ruined his fellowship and relationship with a man after God's own heart. "There's nothing better for me," David said, "than that I should speedily escape in the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." He just destroyed a great relationship that he once had. So what you say and what you think should both be in keeping with the character of Christ, so that you can always say what you mean and mean what you say. I'm not suggesting again that you have to turn over your heart every time, dump out all of its content. You don't have to do that. That's not the point. But when you speak, it should not be contrary. What you say should not be contrary to what you're thinking and what you're feeling in your heart. It's food for thought. I didn't develop that idea much, but I hope you'll think about it a little bit. Our heart and our tongue, they need to be in sync. If not, we're going to destroy our fellowship with the Lord and even our relationship with the brethren. Okay? So let's be careful. I'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to share this time together and the fellowship that we've had and the singing. I pray that you would be honored and glorified by it all, for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.